Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all. And today is Pentecost Sunday. Did you know that? Some of you absolutely have no idea about the kind of the liturgical calendar. It's not like a Pentecost. Some of you are surprised when we get to Christmas, aren't you? It's like, oh, Christmas? What's it? Well, today is one of the three kind of big sort of celebrations in the life of the church. So we have, there's more, but certainly Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost is one of them. The day that the Spirit was given to the church, and the mission of God through the church released into the world. So today is a day when we celebrate that, and many of the other folks around the world church will be thinking about that as well today. Over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about what it would be like to be an Acts 2 church. And so I'm going to read to you again just the passage that we've been thinking about from Acts 2. And in particular today, it's rather convenient. Honestly, we didn't actually plan this when we didn't know it was Pentecost Sunday. But today we're going to be talking about a community of the supernatural, which seems quite appropriate for Pentecost Sunday. So we're reading together Acts 2, verse 42, and to the end of the chapter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling the possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And what we're saying is that we believe that what is described there in Acts 2 was not just simply for the church on that day of Pentecost and subsequently. We believe that the Acts 2 church is actually supposed to be here today. That's actually how it's supposed to be. So when we describe in the scriptures these different elements of, you know, a generous church and a loving church, a church that actually was devoted to learning from God in different ways, all these other things we've already talked about, what we're saying is that that was true then, but it's also true today. And so what we're looking for is just a breakout of these things amongst us today. So today we're thinking particularly in the verse in 43 that says, everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and miraculous signs were done. And I want to just kind of take you for a minute into another chapter of Acts and just give you another example of how that happened. So Acts 19 and then reading from verse 11 to verse 17. Acts 19:11 is where we're going to start. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. So let's just hold on for a moment. So there's miracles, and then there's extraordinary miracles, okay? So I think that's just worth noting as we go past. So I'd be okay with just having some miracles, but there are also extraordinary miracles. We'll get to that. Right, anyway, back to Paul. So God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even his handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick. I just love the idea of kind of somebody somewhere kind of going, do you know what I want? Right, take this napkin or this hanky or this apron or something to one of the wee kids in the family and kind of go to a guy, he's called Paul, he's around the corner, go up to him and just run up and stick it against them, and then come back with it. Because I think that's probably, I don't know what they did, but I just, you know, I was trying to imagine what was actually involved in this thing. It doesn't sound as though he actually kind of laid his hands on these and sort of said a special prayer. It just sort of says they came up and he touched them. And even that was enough to release the power of God. And so, anyway, right, let's keep going. Sorry, I keep getting distracted. And so they touched him, taken the sick, and their sicknesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. But wait until you hear this bit. This bit's even funnier. So some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Now the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were among those who did this. And one day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had the spirit in them jumped them and overpowered them, and he gave them such a doing, that's a small translation there, that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And when this became known to the Jews and to the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, as they should do, I'm sure, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Very interesting. Very interesting. I want to say that I've had some rather unusual experiences as I've walked with God over the years. And one of the most unusual experiences I've had was when we just arrived in this area quite a long time ago now, and I got a phone call from somebody who was looking for the minister. So that's quite unusual that anyone would phone me to look for the minister, but that's what happened. So they phoned up and they said, I need to speak to the minister. And I said, okay, yep. And they said, I live in Arrow Street, and I'm needing a minister to come around the house. And I'm thinking, okay, that's a bit strange, but fair enough. Let's roll with the punches. Yes. What would you like a minister for? What do you need to help with? And she said, I don't want to say over the phone. Going to just come round. And at that point, I kind of thought, all my little alarm bells are beginning to kind of go off at this point. I'm thinking, okay. So I kind of took someone else with me, and we went around the house. So this lady lives around in Earl Street, kind of the bit that's nearest us in White Inch of Earl Street, and went into our house, and she was on edge as we went in. And I went into the house, and basically what happened was she said, could you come through? She said, no, there was me and there was another guy from the church, but anyway, just telling you that now. So her opening remark was, could you come through into the bedroom, please? And at which point I'm thinking, no, this is not a good sign. This is not a good sign. Anyway, she said, no, please just come into the bedroom. I'll explain in a minute. So the pair of us went together, and we went into this lady's bedroom, and she said, I didn't know what else to do. I just thought, I need some help, so I'm going to phone a minister, because I couldn't think of anyone else who would help me. I said, well, why don't you start at the beginning? What's the problem? And she said, there's something in this room. And I went, what do you mean? She said, when I go to bed at night, there's something in this room. And I'm thinking, oh, man, what on earth have I got myself into? Anyway, and she then went on, and she basically sort of said, it was her daughter's room, and she was saying that actually what happened was she put her daughter to bed, and regularly the daughter would be woken up in the middle of the night. And she said, and we think there's something in this room. And I said, well, can you describe what's happening? And she sort of said, well, what's happening is that lights are being flicked on and off, and actually, you know, things are banging, you know, actually noise is happening. You know, it's like things are, it's like something's in the cupboard. And I'm thinking, have you, and I actually think I did say, have you actually kind of taken your daughter to the doctor and just checked that she's all right? You know, is this hallucinations? I mean, are you sure? And she said, no, I swapped beds with her one night, and it happened to me as well. There's something in this room. Going to deal with it? At which point, I thought, oh, okie dokie. Now, let's just check the manual. What do we do here? So we prayed, and we cast out, you know, this thing that was disturbing them. You know, we sensed that it wasn't from God. We sensed that it was something that was evil. We bound it up, and we cast it out. And we went back after that, and the woman was like, and the woman was really funny, because she was like, total matter of fact, well, it's gone. You know, so we went back the next week, and she went, oh, aye, it's been fine. It's been going on for years. She said, oh, aye, it's fine. As if to say, of course, if you call a minister around and you try to get rid of a demon from your bedroom, then obviously they're going to go, and it'll be fine. And she didn't think that that was unusual. She thought that was quite normal. And she actually, and we met her about 6 months later again, and again, yeah, it's fine. Absolutely fine. You know, we've had no problems at all. Now, the reason I want to tell you that story at the beginning is this, that I think that that story is not as unusual as you think. And I think that you'll find that there's lots and lots of people who have had all sorts of very strange experiences which they can't explain and which are actually causing them to ask questions about what is going on in life and indeed what life is all about and indeed whether or not there's actually something beyond just the experiences that they've had. And in actual fact, for some of these folks, they don't have any question about whether or not there's a supernatural realm. They absolutely know that there is because they are suffering from the negative side of it. And they are looking at it and they're kind of going, you know, I just need someone who knows what they're doing, who's willing to come and deal with this stuff. And I just love the fact that that woman kind of took the attitude, well, you call a guy around and he prays and that's it dealt with. So she had no problem about the fact that, first of all, it's real, and secondly, that the person to deal with it would be a Christian. And yet in the church, we struggle with this. You know, we struggle with this whole thing of actually there's supernatural activity going on all around us. And yet, if we are to be a church of the supernatural, if we are to actually see that this sort of stuff that actually has been touching our lives is going to spring out, spill out, pour out into our community and actually make the impact that we believe it's meant to make, then we ourselves need to have the same attitude that that woman had who called and said, I've got a problem, I need you to come. And actually have the same faith that she had that when you pray, something happens and it's dealt with. And the thing that we need to see is this, that actually it is God that is calling us to do these things. Why? Because of exactly the same reasons that it was the case in the Acts 2 church, and it was the same again when Paul was dealing with his guys in Acts 19. It is because when God breaks in, it causes people to wonder. It causes people to kind of go, hang on a second, there's something going on here that I don't understand. I know that there's something else happening in my life, but I don't get it. And the reason, you know, and that's the first thing that I think that we need to understand today, that God is a God who breaks into this world and who does strange stuff sometimes, stuff that we don't understand, things that are beyond our experience and which are actually the supernatural activities that God wants us to do. He is the one who is actually involved in doing these things. And many of us struggle with this because actually we have been brought up in a school system and in a culture that says if you can't experience it, feel it, touch it, understand it, then it's not real. That's what science and rationalism will actually teach you. That's what you get when you kind of go through school, actually, regularly. You'll be told, you know, if it isn't real and you can't understand it and you can't test it, feel it, and all the rest of it, then actually that is not real. And anyone who believes that it is just kidding themselves on. And yet, again, I want to say to you that the community that we live in are full of women like that woman that I told you about who already know that this stuff is real because they're experiencing it every day. And actually what they're needing is a church that would rise up and actually take authority and deal with this sort of stuff and actually kind of go, we're looking for this because we expect that God will do supernatural works. Why? Because it causes people to wonder about him. It draws people into the place where they're kind of going, there's more to life, isn't there, than what we see and touch? And suddenly they begin to sort of say, so what is that? And how can we access that? And what's that all about? And that's the point at which Christians are supposed to step in. So the first thing we need to recognize is this. God is a God who breaks into this world and does things which cause people to wonder about what is happening in life. That's the first thing. The second thing that we need to understand is this. God has called us to be the conduit for these supernatural activities to come into this earth. God does it supernaturally. He does it his own way. And actually, he does it even when we are not around. But predominantly, God has chosen the church, the people of God, the ones who love him and who serve him, to actually be those who will go and take the good news of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ out into this world. And that's what we're talking about being a supernatural church. That's what being an Acts 2 church looks like. And I want to say this. I want to say it's not just for some. It's for all. It's not just for some, it's for all. I love the fact that actually when we kind of come to pray, that actually it isn't just one or two that come and pray, but actually anyone can come and pray. Anyone can come and pray. Why? Because God has chosen us to be the channel for his power to be released in this world. You know, so that actually it is true that there are supernatural miracles, and it is true that there are extraordinary things that Paul did and the apostles did and all the rest of it. But actually, I know that in this room there's some people who have laid their hands on the sick and they've got healed. I know that there are some people who have spoken the word of God and prophesied into someone's life and brought the word of God directly to them. I know that actually, that you know, there's a whole lot of other things that people have done. And I just want to sort of say, I want to encourage us that if we're going to be a supernatural church, if we're going to be like the Acts 2 church, then I want to say that is true, and I know that that's true, and I know that many of us have stepped into that, but I want to say that actually all of us are required. Everybody is required. Not just one, not just two, and not just those who look as though they're super spiritual, because they're not, let me tell you. And not just those who are on the ministry team, and not just those who are trained, blah, 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 who cares? If you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Word of God tells you that when you came to Jesus Christ, you were filled with the Holy Spirit. He put His Holy Spirit within you, and so you have all that it takes to be able to do the things that God wants. That's all that's required, the Holy Spirit within you. And you have it. As soon as you come to faith in Jesus Christ, that's what Ephesians 1 promises, that when we come to Jesus Christ, He puts the deposit of the Holy Spirit within you. Every single one of us, every single one of us are supposed to be conduits of the supernatural. We are those who are calling heaven onto earth. And you know, I love the Celtic saints. The Celtic saints talked about, they talked about circling themselves, right? It's the Cain prayer. It was all about kind of like, you know, keep evil out and God within and all sorts of things. Anyway, they prayed, you know, that actually wherever they would go, that God would be in this circle with them. So they kind of, they prayed a prayer which was, you know, circle me, Lord, with your presence and fill it with your presence, Lord. Keep evil out and keep your spirit within. And the thing about them was, what they then thought was, everywhere they went, they had this circle that kind of like went around with them. And basically, everywhere they went, the circle went. So they had assumed in their head, they had this thing in their head that sort of said, it's like, you know, if you could have a wee beam, you know how they have in sort of Star Trek or Star Wars, they have this beam of light up to the sky and stuff. So they have this kind of thought where this beam of light was coming down from heaven into their circle, and wherever they went, that's where the kingdom of God was. So they were taking the kingdom with them. So everywhere they went, into work, into, you know, on the bus, anywhere they went, not too many of the Celtic saints went on the bus, but anyway, but anywhere they went, they had the kingdom of God with them. You know, that's it. Because there was nowhere that they could go that God wasn't with them. Nowhere that they could go that they couldn't immediately call heaven onto earth. And they understood that that was their job. That was actually what they were supposed to do. So, if we're going to build a community of the supernatural, what do we need to do? Okay? First thing we need to do, I think, is we need to deal with any ungodly, unbiblical worldviews. Okay? So that means where we get ourselves into the place where we kind of go, either, first of all, it's not me, it's them. You know, I'm not actually good enough, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not spiritual enough. All of that kind of stuff, we need to take that and we need to dropkick that today. That is just not true. It's not biblical, it's not scriptural, it's not what God says about us. We are, when we come into faith, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Anyone can do this, okay? That's the first thing in terms of changing our worldview. Second thing, that actually we are not going to come under that thing which sort of says, actually, we're not sure whether or not we really believe in, you know, in the supernatural. We need to choose to step into that place where we expect that the supernatural God will truly be supernatural in our lives. And so that's actually one of the things that we need to do. So sometimes we kind of look and we see the circumstances and we see situations where others who do not have faith would look and say, it's not possible for God to break in here. And so we're just expecting that the natural course of things will take its course. And we're saying, actually, God can break in and do things that don't fit in the natural course of things. That's why we pray with confidence for healing. Not because of the fact that actually we have the ability to heal. Jesus pours heaven through us onto earth. When we pray, we're releasing the power of Christ as he died on the cross to pay for every sickness and disease and infirmity. And when we stand in front of those who are sick, we do so with confidence, knowing that he has paid the price for that sickness, and therefore we are just simply asking heaven to come to earth. You know, so that's what we're supposed to do. But the problem is we need to get our heads straight sometimes, because actually in our heads sometimes kind of don't take us there because our experience or because of the way we think. So there's something about changing our minds. There's something about, you know, actually allowing the transformation of the world that comes as a result of the renewal of our minds to be in line with what the scriptures actually teach. That's the first thing. There's something about the worldly, having a worldview, as I say, that allows us. The second thing is this, that we actually have to be willing to let God use us as a conduit of the Holy Spirit. We need to actually be willing. We need to be saying, day by day, Lord, I'm looking for opportunities to actually allow your Holy Spirit to pour through me. And as that happens, then what happens is this, that God then does exactly that. And sometimes we're going to, and listen, at the beginning, sometimes we're going to miss those opportunities. You know, we're going to fluff it. We're going to drop the ball. We're going to be in a situation where we kind of just know that God's going to give us the nudge, pray now, nudge. And we kind of go, I hope you feel better. You know, and listen, if that happens, that happens. Don't worry about that, okay? God is good, and he's gracious, and he's kind. And he doesn't have a problem with the fact that actually we need to learn how to do this. So it's fine if that happens, but let's keep asking for opportunities. And when we get opportunities, and when God says yes, then we should do that. You know, we should do that. We should step up. We should get in. And as we do, we'll see God move. So it's about willingness. So there's a worldview thing, changing our worldview to sit with what God says. There's a willingness thing. But there's also something about stewarding what God has already done. I think some of us who were at Clan Gathering this year in Edinburgh heard Alan Scott, who is from Cosby Coast Vineyard, talking about the experiences that they're having in terms of seeing God pouring his spirit out and actually seeing significant things happening, both in terms of healing and now in terms of salvations. And what he was sort of saying was this: we need to understand that actually we are stepping back into something that God is doing, in a sense, as a church, because actually it was always supposed to be like this. We've kind of lost it, and now God is bringing it back. And the way that you bring it back is not necessarily that God gives one great big dollop of woof, you know, I'm going to do everything, and it's all going to happen, and everything's going to happen. That does happen. Sometimes that happens. God can do what he likes. But what Alan was saying was this: if God wants to do that, bless him, let him do that. And we should look for that. But actually, what we should do, if that isn't what God is doing, is we need to steward what God has already done to build and strengthen and to increase the flow and activity of what he's doing. So basically, if you see a miracle, first of all, give thanks for it. Secondly, give testimony for it. Speak about it. Talk about it. Encourage one another. And then keep looking for it. So if someone comes and they've got a sore back and you prayed for backs and they've got healed, then whoo, let's look for some more backs. We have faith. We step into that. And we need to learn how to steward these things. We've talked about these things before, but if we're going to be a community of supernatural power, then actually, this is how you steward it. When you see it, you give thanks for it, and you testify, you talk about it, you share with others. And as that happens, you then look for God to be doing other things as well. And I think that the other thing is, we also need, and this is the other thing we need to do if we're going to actually kind of become build a community of the supernatural, we also need to look for the things that are in the scriptures which are not happening here yet. So again, one of the things Alan Scott talks about is the fact that actually, you know, it's great when we see some people's backs healed, but actually we want to see cancer healed. And so we're going after that. It's great when we see someone with a sore leg and it's sorted, but actually we want to see depression pulled down. And that's what, so actually for us, as we step into this, there is that whole thing of spending our time going like this. It's here, God. I want to see it now, please. Not because of the fact I want to see it for my sake. I want to see it for your sake. I want to see it for your glory, Jesus. This is, you died so that this stuff that you've written about, that's here in this book, would be possible here on earth, right here, right now. And so I don't want to wait to heaven to see everything all gone. I don't want to wait. I want to actually press into this. And that is also how we'll build a community of the supernatural. That is what happened in the Acts 2 church, that they pressed into these things. So, God breaks in and does amazing things. We are called to be conduits of the Holy Spirit, bringing heaven onto earth. And to do that, to build a community of the supernatural, we need to change our worldview. We need to be willing to let God use us. We need to steward what God has already done. And we need to press in for everything that is in this scripture that as yet we have not seen amongst us. And if we do that, we are going to see an Acts 2 church happen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And all over the world, the church is praying, not for the Holy Spirit to come, because he's already come, but instead, as Paul put it in Ephesians 5, that we would be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Some of us, perhaps, we've never experienced the filling of the Spirit. We've never experienced God just pouring his Spirit into our heart. Actually, we're not sure, even some of us, whether or not we've really kind of crossed that line and actually come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not maybe sure whether or not he has first given us that deposit within us. And actually, for today, you can be sure of that. You know, we want you to be sure of that today. And so come and we'll pray for you that you would receive that. But for others of us, it's actually the experience is this, that God wants us to know again the empowering of his Spirit, the filling of his Spirit, so that we would do all that is there. I love the fact that Jesus said, you know, you will do these things and even greater things than these. That's what he said. And that's what we're longing for. And that's what we're looking for. So I'd like you to just stand where we are, and we're just going to pray now and ask the Lord to come. Invite the band just to come back up and to lead us in a minute. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks of a reality which is beyond our experience at the moment. We thank you that you're calling us to be an Acts 2 church, because Acts 2 churches is just actually a name for what church isn't supposed to be like everywhere at all times. And Lord God, we thank you that today in particular, you're calling us to be a community of the supernatural. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you're already doing. We thank you for what you've already done. But Lord God, we're longing for more. We're longing for the fullness of the kingdom of God. We're longing for the things that are spoken of in the scriptures to come to pass today. And we're asking, Lord, that as that happens, as these things happen, that Lord God, you would not just simply take one or two of us, but that you would take us all, Lord God. And today we're asking that you would come, and that on this special day, this Pentecost Sunday, as a world church celebrates the coming of the Spirit, we ask for you to come again, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We love you. We love what you do in our life. We thank you that you came into our lives when we gave our hearts to you, Jesus. We thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance in the things of God. But Lord God, today we're asking for a refilling, a filling again of your Holy Spirit into our lives, so that, Lord God, we would not be those who simply watch as others pray, but that we too would step into the things that you've called us to be, that we would all be part of this community who see the supernatural happening. But Lord, more than that, not just simply here, we're asking for it in work tomorrow morning. We're asking for it as we get on the bus this week. We're asking for it as we go into the shops, so that when we see the sick and broken, when we see the desperate and needy, when we see people who are talking about the things that, you know, that just seem strange, and we realize that there's something going on in the supernatural, we don't hold back, but instead we press in. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come now. So just wherever you are, just start just asking, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, just where you are. Just receive, open your spirit to Him. He's coming. Yeah. Even now, He is here. We ask for an increase, Lord. I'm asking for more than we've ever had before, Lord. I'm asking that there would be more of Your power in our life. I'm asking that Your Holy Spirit would flow through us in ways that we've never seen before. I'm asking that You would make us like those Celtic prayer saints that and just knew that that they were encircled by the kingdom of God, that they were like a kind of a, they were wherever they went, they were kingdom bringers. We're just so, we long for that, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome You. We receive You. Have Your way. Have Your way in us, we pray. Have Your way in us. And even now, just where you're standing, some of you are experiencing just something of the power. Some of you feel almost like a wave of energy flowing through you. Others of you are feeling heat sometimes in your hands. Others of you are just conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit around about you. Some of you are feeling just an overwhelming sense of love. Some of us don't feel anything, but that's not because He's not here. It's just we think in a different way. We function in a different way. So just let the Holy Spirit touch you. Just open yourself and say, yes, come, Holy Spirit. Yes, more, Lord.